Let me invite you to open again to Titus chapter 2. Paul left Titus in Crete, and he left him there in the midst of a very pagan culture, a culture that was looked down upon even by most of the rest of the Roman Empire. They had established churches throughout that island, and there were many challenges, yet there was a real reason for optimism. In chapter 1, Paul told Titus to stand strong, to choose godly leaders for the churches, to guard against legalism. And in chapter 2, he begins a series of very specific instructions to various parts of the churches. And he breaks them down in age groupings. And he begins with those who are oldest in these churches. And so this morning, this lesson will be directed, and our class will go in the direction of lessons for older saints. Read with me again the first three verses here. You must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled and sound in faith and love and in endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Older men, older women, he concentrates on behavior in this grouping. And he says to these older saints, set an example for those who are young in the faith. Throughout this short letter, we've seen, and we're going to see, that there is an emphasis on living out the truth. Not just proclaiming the truth, but demonstrating the truth in the way that we live. You know, it's been my experience, and I imagine most of you would agree with this, that people learn better by example than by a lecture. In the tough spots I've been through in my life, when I've not been sure what to do or how to respond, I had some great teachers, but I didn't go back and try to remember, well, now, what did they teach me in class? I've thought of people that I've known, that I loved and respected, and I've asked myself, what would he do or what would she do in a similar situation? It was the example that I turned to, even more so than the teaching. General Patton was on his way with the Third Army into the German front and came to a rain-swollen river, and he said, well, the men are going to have to swim across because we don't have time or resources to build a bridge. And several of the officers protested. They said, our men can't swim that river with their backpacks on. And there in full view of the entire army, Patton, without saying a word, walked down, waded into that stream, and he swam across and got out on the other side and looked at them and came back in the water, swam back to them, never said a word again, and those men all went down and swam the river. You know, it's like that old poem by Edgar Guest, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather one should walk with me than merely tell the way. The great need in the church today is that of positive role models. Vicki and I went Friday night to see Parkview play Lebanon. The game didn't turn out the way we had hoped. I'm not a huge football fan. I went down and was sitting beside Julia Davison, and she said, do you like football? I said, no, I like Jeff Klein. Jeff coaches that group, and I respect Jeff. And he told me out here on the parking lot that he was coaching one of the fellas there, and that young man let out a string of expletives, including the use of God's name in vain. And Jeff just stopped the man in his tracks, young man, and he said, do you hear me talk like that? And the young man said, no. And he said, I do not want to hear you talk about my God in that way. Now, I can promise you this, that young man will forget all the plays in the playbook, but he'll never forget a coach that did not use bad language and a coach that honored his God. Older members, you're being watched. Set an example for those who are following behind. Mark Twain said, few things are harder to put up with than the annoyance of a good example. So let's annoy these young people with our good examples. The great English preacher Charles Spurgeon said, a man's life is always more forcible than his speech. When men take stock of him, they reckon his deeds as dollars and his words as pennies. If his life and doctrine disagree, the mass of onlookers accept his practice and reject his preaching. Our actions speak louder than our words. That's why Paul wrote to Timothy and said what he said in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16. He said, watch your life and your doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. It's important what we teach, what we believe, but it's equally important how we live our lives. It's like asking the question, which wing of an airplane is most important? Paul says, watch your life and your doctrine. Older members of Sunset live lives worthy of respect. Now, I want to talk to some of the younger folks, and they're scattered out here this morning, and there are going to be a bunch of them, second service down front. But I want to say a word to the younger members of this congregation. And that is simply this, young people, show respect to your elders. In the Old Testament, there's a verse that says, rise in the presence of the elderly. And it's important for our young people as Christians, even though our culture may not do this, it's important for us to demonstrate such respect. I love that commercial on television about respect. And it shows a young man listening to his iPod, and an old lady gets on the bus, and he gets up and offers her his seat. Let older folks go ahead of you in line. Hold doors open for older people. Say yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. However you can demonstrate respect to the older generation. Honor them, because one day you're going to be old. And Scripture says you reap what you sow. Well, back to the older folks. I want to just say this to our older members here at Sunset about retirement. Many of you have already retired, and many of you are anticipating eagerly the day you can retire. But let me tell you this, in the church, there is no such thing as retirement. Remember that verse? Be thou faithful until 65. That's not what it says, is it? Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life. And I just want to hold up some examples that you all know in this congregation. John Alley never really retired. John and Virginia continued to visit and to teach and to do and to serve until health made it impossible for them to continue doing more than they did. Even now, if you talk to John, he'll tell you his biggest regret in life right now is that he can't continue serving. Juanita Loveland in this congregation, she continued to take care of our bus route and send flowers to all the sick and to funerals up into her 90s. It's only been very recently that because of health concerns, she's had to lay that kind of responsibility aside. No, the rule of thumb in Scripture is go until you can't. And let me just encourage you. Don't say, I did my time, and now I'm going to turn it over to the young people. Retirement from a career is just one more opportunity to do more, not less, in the kingdom of God. So let me beg all of our older members here at Sunset, don't drop out, don't quit. We need you. We need the energy, yes, of the younger generation, but we also need the experience and the wisdom of the older generation. And for many of you, I'm not telling you anything that you don't already know and that you don't already practice. We have an impressive group of older saints in this congregation that are fulfilling a variety of ministries in this church. You come up here any Monday morning and I'll take you downstairs where that sewing room is. It looks like a sweatshop, and all those ladies are down there with their sewing machines going, working like Trojans, churning out quilts and blankets and things that are going to be blessings to people in our community. You come up here any Wednesday morning and I'll take you down the hall and I'll show you a whole group of ladies who are digging deep into the Word of God. And almost every day, my office is above the benevolence door down there, and I can hear that big metal door thud closed as people are bringing groceries and as people are picking up groceries and delivering them to people here in our community. We have older members who are involved in sending out cards. They go on visits and they visit our members in nursing homes and those that are ill. We have fellowship activities to bring our older members together with the Jet Setters. So there's a lot that's good that's going on, and I commend the older members of this congregation for the example they're setting for the younger generation. You know, Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born. Moses was 80 when he first began to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. Caleb was 85 years old when he led Israel to victory. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 22, Jesus said, "He who stands firm to the end will be saved." J. Wallace Hamilton wrote a chapter in one of his books, and that chapter was entitled, "How Long Is Your Shadow?" Now, he wasn't just talking about a shadow on the sidewalk. He was talking about your legacy, about what you'll leave behind. And he talked in that chapter about the influence that is left behind following a lifetime of following God. And he says, "You can no more keep from exerting influence than you can keep from casting a shadow on a sunny day." And he goes on and he says two things about influence that I think all older Christians need to hear. Number one, your influence is exerted for the most part unconsciously. You know, we tend to think that it's by our intentional actions that we influence our children or that we influence others, but it's not. You know when your influence has the greatest impact? Your influence has the greatest impact when your guard is down. And when the real you is showing through and you don't even realize it. So don't think that as parents, you can call a family meeting and you can say, "Okay, I am now going to exert my influence over this family," and then give them some kind of a speech. No, influence is seen when a father regularly reads his Bible every day without even realizing that little eyes are watching. Real influence is exerted when a godly Christian mother in time of crisis instinctively goes to God in prayer, and those children in the home observe that response. It's seen in attitudes and actions and in knee-jerk reactions, in the unconscious moments of life when who we really are comes shining through. And then he said in that same chapter about how long is your shadow, he says that there's another truth about influence, and that is influence is almost immortal. It's like a pebble in a pond, and the ripples just keep on going and going. Death does not end influence. My grandmother, I called her Nanny, she prayed for me every day. She told me that. And I believed her. I knew that. And she prayed every day for me. And let me tell you, if you in your life have a parent or a grandparent who prays regularly for you, there are few greater blessings that you'll ever enjoy in life than being prayed for like that. Nobody else that I know of prays for me like that. I love you and you love me. I don't think there's anybody in this church that prays for me every day. Who prays for you every day? If you have someone like that, you have a gift from God. Now, my grandmother died years ago. But that prayer, those prayers she prayed, that the influence of that prayer life didn't end. You think that God, who had been hearing those prayers and who had been watching over me and blessing me as a response to her prayers, you think the day she died, he said, "Well, Joe, sorry, the warranty ends." That's not how prayer works. God honored her prayers. He heard her prayers. And I am being blessed today because of prayers prayed years ago. Prayer is powerful and it continues. Influence doesn't end. Your influence will live on long after you're gone. It'll live on in the memory of those that you have impacted in life. But even more than that, there are ways in which your influence will trickle down throughout the generations that will surprise you one day when you're with God and can see the full picture. We all know Rick and Sherry Owens. We've worked with Rick down in Mexico. Sherry's been here. She spoke at Ladies Day. And the story she told, I'll never forget. She said that she and Rick were just almost pagan at one stage. They lived in California. They were not interested in God. They couldn't care less about church. But they had a neighbor who noticed their small children. And that neighbor said, "Can I take your children to Sunday school?" Well, they didn't put much stock in church, but they didn't see any harm in letting their children go to Sunday school, and so they did. And this lady took them to one of the local churches of Christ there where they lived, and Sherry never went, and Rick never went. And years later, they moved to Alaska, and times got hard, and they, because of some tragedy in their life, felt the need to turn to God. And when they did, Sherry was the first one to respond to spiritual needs in her life. And she remembered this lady who took her kids to Sunday school. And so she got the phone book out and she looked up the local Church of Christ. And that's where she went. She eventually was led to the Lord. Rick later was led to the Lord. They eventually sold everything they had, moved down, began the work in Mexico, and they have had an impact on lives of Mexican Christians that only God knows. And they have had an impact on the lives of Americans who've worked down there that only God knows. And you know the funny thing? Sherry can't even remember the name of that lady. And that lady never knew what happened. And won't she be surprised? Won't she be pleased on the day of judgment to know what her influence has meant in the lives of the Owens family and innumerable families on this side of the border and on that? Let me tell you, folks, you have no earthly idea what God can do with your influence as time moves forward. The people you have impacted for good, the children you have trained up, those you've led to the Lord, those you've taught, there's no telling what the cumulative effect of one person's influence will be. I think that's why God delays judgment. When a man dies, you can't tell for good or for bad the full impact he's had. But with the passing of the years, you see clearly the good or the bad and its cumulative effect. Robert Louis Stevenson penned a nursery rhyme called My Shadow. Some of you may have learned that or read that when you were a child or read it to your children. And it begins with these words: "I have a little shadow that goes in and out with me, and what can be the use of him is more than I can see." And let me tell you, no truer words were ever penned. Your shadow, your influence, is more than you can see. Older members, live godly lives. Set godly examples. Allow your influence to be one that is positive in this life and down through the ages because of the way that you've lived. I'm grateful that we've got people who take that charge seriously here at Sunset. And I'm grateful that we have young people who look up to and honor those who live such godly lives. You know, it's going to be a pleasure when Jesus comes back. We sang that wonderful song that Dwight led there just before the lesson about the clouds being rolled back as a scroll, and we're going to see him, and we're going to stand before him, and there's not going to be any fear for us who are Christians because our sins have been washed away. He's paid the price. We can really mean those words, "It is well with my soul." And when we stand before him, won't it be a surprise, and won't we be pleased to know the things that have happened long after we've been gone because of the influence of a godly Christian life. If you're not a Christian, there's no hope. There is no hope. Because only in Jesus Christ is there salvation. This morning, if you're here and you're not in Jesus Christ, Scripture is very clear. The way to get into Jesus Christ is to be baptized into him, putting your absolute trust and faith in him, turning from your sins, confessing him as the Lord and Savior. If you need to respond to his invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.